Amen. Well, I missed you guys last week. My family and I went on vacation, and we had just gotten back in town last Friday night just to leave again, and so it was kind of weird because we technically got home in time to come to Shift, but we were so wiped out that we were like, "Oh man, we can't make it." But we were here in spirit, and I heard that Reverend Beth just tore it up, right? Man, it's always so good hearing the word, and so she gets to be on vacation tonight. But we're so glad. What a wonderful team that we have here. Everyone that makes it happen, we thank you. We know that, you know, whether you're an usher or you serve it creatively or a greeter, whatever it might be, thank you for serving and contributing to what God is doing. Man, we just know, I just can't help but talk about how excited I am for what's to come and Shift. But I never want to neglect what's currently happening now, right? I mean, it's great to talk about the future, and we know something's happening. We know it's exciting, the future, and that's great, and that's true. But man, God, we are in the midst of a move this week, right? Friday is here. We don't have to wait till May. We don't have to wait until the retreat. Man, God is available starting tonight, amen? And I believe God's going to do something. I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. And then if it's okay with you, we want to invite the band up in just a little bit. And I believe that people are going to walk out of here healed tonight. I believe that we're going to walk out of here forever changed. So is that okay with everybody? I think it's so amazing. We have to take advantage of our presence with the Lord. To be able to gather in his house. There's like my wife said earlier, there's just such a sweet presence in the place tonight. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says there is freedom, there is healing, and that is available for you tonight. So go ahead and reach that. That is a word for somebody, because we don't want you to leave the same. We want you to meet people, but we want you to mostly meet up with Jesus. Amen. All right. So that being said, tonight we have a message entitled. I know, again, we're looking forward to Revive in May. But what I was really feeling on my spirit as we, over the next few weeks before we get into May, is to really prepare our hearts, prepare the ground and the soil of our hearts for a special word for Revive, for revival. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Don't be too distracted. But because, you know, what the series Revive is about, and what we're expecting in May, is to have an encounter, to revive something, right, is to bring something that was dead to life. And maybe you have a dead dream, or you feel like you've hit a dead end in your life, or maybe you're cool, but you want something more. Well, God is here and available to revive our spirits once again, to serve him, to rejuvenate us, to get that shot of adrenaline, to just pick us up and take us into that new season that God has for each and every one of us. Oh, Antonio, I don't know about that. I don't know. Yes, God loves you, and he has more for you, and he wants more for you. He desires a closer relationship with you. And I tell you, when you are in a relationship with Jesus, when you are in a close relationship with Jesus, that is when you just experience a life full of miracles and a life full of blessing. Can I get a witness from anybody tonight? Man, a couple witnesses tonight. Can I get a witness tonight? Amen. So the title of tonight's message is Shame Off You. Shame Off You. It's a play of the shame on you. We're saying shame off you. See, the challenge that I see, myself included, and so many young adults, is that, you know, we just, like, hey, we made the decision. We want to follow Jesus, right? Maybe we've raised our hands, or we said a prayer. We are in a relationship with Jesus. And then something happens. Temptation comes along. Or an old relationship, or just something comes along. We hit a rough patch, and things just aren't going our way. And also, we find ourselves in old habits. We find ourselves in old areas of our life. And then this lie, this trick that the enemy likes to use, called guilt and shame, sneaks into your life. Guilt and shame sneaks into your life. And it's a trick and a lie from the enemy that he likes to put on you. But what happens is, we not even always recognize it as such, because we start to take ownership of those things, right? The reason why it's such a trick is because we start to not recognize it as so much as a lie of the enemy as just the truth. We start to realize or acknowledge what people have said about us, or what we think about ourselves, because of our mistake. Oh, I did this, I did that, and then we identify with that. So, you know, we get into the things people have called us, liar, right? And we say, oh, this is me. I'm a liar. That's the lie. You know, I guess I'm a liar, or I'm a drunk, right? Or how about this one? I don't even know if this is the current term, but I'm a pothead, right? That's just what I am, you know. I'm a slut. People call me a slut, and that's just what I do. I sleep around. I'm easy. I'm whatever. I'm a cheater, right? I cheat on my taxes. I cheat on people. I cheat on my tests or whatever it might look like. And all of a sudden, the labels that people have called us or told us, we now believe, and this is what we carry around. Hello, my name is addict. Hello, my name is this. Hello, my name is that. And we start to take ownership of it, right? And we've called it. This is like our name badge, right? Like, hi, how you doing? My name is addict. And so we don't even, it's not even a lie anymore. We've just accepted it as truth. And guilt and shame keeps it on us. You know, it's the glue that keeps these things attached to us because of our guilt and shame. And I'm not worthy to be called anything other than what I am. Right? But the problem and the challenge with that is, you know, we just celebrated Easter, but the blood of Jesus washes all that off. So if you are born again, then the blood of Jesus, you are no longer, you lose all the stickiness. So the labels can't come off you, or they can't stick to you. You know, see, Jesus doesn't see you as that. So why do you look in the mirror and see yourself as that? Jesus, you know, you've been washed by the blood. If you're washed by the blood, then you are one with him. And are you calling Jesus a cheater? Are you calling Jesus a pothead? Are you calling Jesus whatever label you might have concocted to put on yourself? It just doesn't stick anymore. You've been blood bought and blood washed. Come on. But the lie we want to stick to it and identify it, and guilt and shame, they like to remind us to maybe feel that way. But that's not the case because we have the Word of God. How many say amen to the Word of God? And we have the Word of God that tells us otherwise. If you could go with me in Romans, we're going to look in Romans chapter 8, a pretty popular verse, pretty famous verse. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, sometimes we stop right there, but we're going to keep reading. Those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, we used to live before Jesus in this law of sin and death, right? Meaning that the cost or the price of your sin was death. In that law, the only way to pay for your sin was death. Right, so what they used to do in those times, they used to bring an animal and sacrifice an animal, and it would kind of wash away their sins, right? But that was the cost. See, but we're seeing that through Christ Jesus, it has removed us from that law. Now, we don't live under the law anymore. We live under the grace of Christ Jesus. So what's happening is now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and walk according to the Spirit. Why that is important is because we can say there's no condemnation for there's no condemnation. But if you're not walking according to the Spirit, there will be condemnation. The reason why is because you are walking, if you remain under the flesh, then you are trying to remain under the law. And then there is a price for that to stay under the law. But if we're walking according to the Spirit, if we're born again, if we're washed by the blood of Jesus and we accept that Spirit, now there is no condemnation. What does condemnation mean here? So in the Hebrew, that word, the definition of condemnation is a damnatory sentence. Is a damnatory sentence, meaning if you are condemned, you have been given a sentence to be damned, essentially to hell, right? So the cost for that sin, the cost of your sin, the condemnation that comes upon you, the sentence is for eternal damnation. I mean, let's be real. Can we be real in church? But what we're saying is there is therefore no condemnation. That sentence is not put on you. if you're walking according to the Spirit, if we can live under the reality of the grace of God that doesn't take us in the law of sin and death. So let's read that part again, the second part of that verse. Who walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. We are now free because we can live in the Spirit. See, the challenge is we don't want to live in the Spirit. Because we just want to go on to what seems natural to us. And we keep our identities, we keep our labels, and we want to live according to the flesh. See, but what we're talking about is talking shame off you. So this isn't a beat you up message. This is a message of hope. Because the reality is we just talked about how there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, which means you do not have to walk in that sentence of damnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. An example of this we see in Luke. Can we turn with me to Luke chapter 7? Luke chapter 7, Jesus talking here. Everybody all right? I'm still tripping. You said damnation. What the heck? Luke chapter 7. Verse number 48. Verses 48 through 50. Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Looking at the Greek word of that word peace there, it's called, let me look it up here. I'll try to say it in the original Greek just to sound really smart. See, Arene, you have to kind of roll your R's. Arene is the Greek there. And that word means peace, or that word is peace. And the definition is tranquility. It's a harmony. So Jesus, what is Jesus saying? Your faith has saved you. Now go and be in peace. Now go live in harmony. Have tranquility. Don't have weight. Don't have condemnation. But go off with that. You mean Jesus wants us to have harmony? Harmony, tranquility. Jesus wants us to be tranquil. Jesus doesn't want us to live a life of hustle and bustle and worry about your salvation. And where he's saying your faith saved you, right? And we know this, that we have been saved by grace through faith. Your faith has saved you. Go and be tranquil. Go and have harmony in your life. So you look up, there's this cool software. You can look up this word, reine, right? Because, so how many know there's context in the Bible? Because we see love in the Bible, and oftentimes that word love can have three different types of words. But in our English language, it gets translated as love each time. But there's agape, right? There's phileos, and there's eros, right? All three different kinds of love with three different definitions of love. What are those called? What is it called when it's the same word, different meaning, teacher? It's not synonym. Homonyms. It's a homonym, right? So we think of it, we have these homonyms, so it's the same kind of thing. But you can see where else in the Bible that you see arene. Well, turn with me the next chapter over. In chapter 8, verse number 48, we're seeing the same thing. And here's Jesus again talking. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in arene. Go in harmony. Go in tranquility." So in chapter 7, he's saying your faith has saved you. And here he's saying your faith has healed you. So you guys know it's the same faith. It's the same Jesus, the same faith that made you well, that heals your body, is the same faith that gives you salvation. Amen. And when you have those things, what do you get? You get arene. You get peace. You get tranquility. You get harmony in your life. But oftentimes, we don't walk in that truth. See, we walk in a truth of, oh man, hustle and bustle, busy life. Oh my, I'm clinging on to my salvation. But that's not Jesus' desire for us. But when we walk around like shame on you, we don't have that peace. So I feel like God put it on my heart to tell you tonight, shame off of you, walk in peace, be in harmony, be tranquil, go with your security, knowing that the faith that saved you, has healed you, has made you well, has given you the ability to have peace. Amen, somebody. We don't have to live our lives in, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been all right. That's not harmonious. I just love these, you know, harmony and tranquility. But I feel like in 48, there's this other additive to what that peace means. There's surety. You can be sure of your salvation. You can be sure of knowing that Jesus loves you. You can be sure that Jesus has great things in store for your life. See, because if you weren't sure, could you really be in harmony? Could you really be in peace? So we can't make out God to be a liar. But we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to live our lives seeking holiness. We have to live our lives seeking what God would have us to do. See, in both of those scriptures, we saw that peace, and we know that our faith heals us. Our faith saves us. And that through that faith, we have peace. But it's hard to have peace if we're walking with shame. It's hard to have peace when we're walking with condemnation. We talked about, remember, to walk in condemnation or with that verdict on our lives. Let's go to John chapter 16, last verse today. Oh my gosh, so many verses. It's three, guys, relax. John chapter 16, or 4, sorry. John chapter 16, towards the end of Jesus' life. Man, the word of God is so good, so powerful. And here it says, and when he has come, talking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is talking about how he's going to have to leave. But he's saying, when I leave, I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. And so in reference to him, and when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. See, because as much as there's not condemnation, there is what's called conviction. Can we get that? Conviction is greater than condemnation. Because that word, by definition, conviction there, it means to bring to light or to expose. When there's conviction in our life, it brings it to light. Like, hey, it's to expose a sin. So when there's something that comes up in our life, you know, there's kind of like this, like the signal, the alarm goes off. And that's conviction in our life to keep us from stepping into sin. I don't think we put it on there, but if you can write this down. Condemnation means you sinned, you're going to hell. Whereas conviction says you're about to sin, but you have the power not to. You're about to sin, but you have the power not to. Condemnation says you sinned, you're going to hell, shame on you, guilt, shame, own them. That's what condemnation says. But we saw there is therefore now no condemnation. When I was growing up, there was this song. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The remix. Boom, 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 boom. There is therefore now no condemnation. No, those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm just kidding. So next time you kind of come and just sing that song. That's what I remember. Growing up, I would know these songs. I knew the Bible when I was a kid. I didn't even realize I was singing the Bible. But just so you guys just get that little tune in your head. When the devil tries to lie to you and say, shame on you. This is the verdict on your life. There is no condemnation. Because I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. I'm going to walk according to what God says about me. See, but conviction, see, this is where maybe the unpopular part of the message is come on. See, because conviction requires or calls us to a new level or to a level of holiness. Uh-oh, holiness. Yes, that's a good thing. It calls us to a level where we can stop to sin, because who knows that we have the authority. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, it says, I don't know exactly, but essentially it's saying to cast down every imagination that would try to come against the word of God. So when those things, remember that, that's that conviction. So it's like, hey, you're about to sin, but then you just remember the word of God that says, I can cast down every foul thing, every lie, everything that comes against what the word of God says about me. So when the temptation is to be like, well, I might as well do it. Remember, I'm an addict. I might as well go to that site. I might as well pick up that bottle. I might as well pick up that pipe. I might as well do whatever it is. Or I'm a cheater. I'm a slut. I'm a this. I'm a that. When those things try to stick yourselves to it, to you, that conviction will come into your life and say, hey, remember, you're saved. You don't have to sin. You have the power to turn that down. You have the power to overcome sin. See, I heard it said by a preacher. They were talking about, you know, because sometimes we can think, man, I'm just an addict. I'm just this. I'm just going to struggle with this till I die. See, and what the preacher was talking about, if we don't understand, or we believe that we're going to be in bondage until we die and go to heaven, like, oh, that's just going to be something I struggle with, then by saying that, we're in bondage to that sin. So then what happens is the only way that we get free from that bondage is when we die and go to heaven. But the problem is, if that is true, then death is your savior and not Jesus. Come on. I'll say that again. If you think that you're just going to, oh, I just have to, this is what I have to live with. I'm an addict. I'm a slave to this. I'm in bondage to this. I'm just going to struggle with this till I die and go to heaven. Hurry up, Jesus, come get me, because this is too hard. Then all of a sudden death is your savior, because you're waiting for death to free you from that bondage. And Jesus is not. And that's not good. That's idolatry. That's a lie. Jesus is your savior, which means you have the power, the ability, the grace to be free from bondage now. I have that power available to me to be free from bondage now. Are we going to walk in it? Are we going to walk according to the Spirit, so we don't have to live in bondage? I'm not saying that you'll never sin again. I'm saying you are not a slave to it. You are not in bondage to it. It is not something that controls you. It is not something that sticks itself to you to identify you. Amen? Sometimes this isn't always a popular message, because then we're putting responsibility on you. Oh my gosh. To do what the word says. To understand the authority that you have as a believer. To understand that you have the power to not sin. To understand that Jesus through you can get you through the situation. That you have a powerful God that lives inside of you. God would not call you to something that he wouldn't equip you to get done. Amen? He wouldn't ask you to do something that he wouldn't equip you to do. But you want to team up with him. See, the Bible says his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when, oh, but I'm weak in that area. That's just so, I hear it all the time. That's just an area I'm weak in. Perfect. Great. Because now his strength is perfect. Now he'll fill in the gap. See, when, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that on my own. All right, give it a try. But it's when we're weak that he is strong. Amen. When we're weak, he is strong. We want that conviction in our life, because it'll call us to a higher place. See, young adults, Shift, millennials, Rock Church, Inland Empire dwellers, we can no longer afford to wear the titles that we've been given. We can no longer be okay with status quo. We have to call ourselves to a better place. Not because, you know, maybe you could get by. But do you want to live a life of getting by? Or do you want to be part of something? That's, you know, we're, this is not a facade. This is not hype. Man, we really want to get something done in this church. We really want to get something done in our region. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We want to be a part of a movement. It's not a cliche saying. We know that God has called us to a higher place, to a greater place, but we have to have that expectation on ourselves. We have to live holy. We have to get on our face. We have to pray. We have to seek the Lord and seek his voice and his desire and his will for our life. You know, again, I'm not trying to condemn you. But I am just trying to challenge you. And as the Spirit convicts you of whatever that might be, that's okay with me. Because the Spirit convicts me all the time and I have to be okay with it. Because that, again, that conviction is just calling us to a higher place. That conviction, that he told us, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you. What's this, the second part of that verse, or verse number 9? So we talked about in verse 8, the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. And 11, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So that's why he's going to convict us of these areas. That's why he's going to bring us into these higher areas. He's going to reveal it so he can heal it. He's going to expose it so he can take it away. But we just have to be vulnerable to be exposed. Guys, this is exciting news. This is inspiring news. This, to me, it's encouraging news because no longer do we have to live by that. We don't have to be in bondage. We don't have to be a slave to sin. We don't have to be a slave to our struggles. Shame off you tonight, young adults. Shame off you. Jesus on you. Grace on you. Peace with you. Tranquility and harmony on your lives. Come on, if you got something from the Word of God. If I could get the band up here. Come on.